This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, welcome to the show. This is John. Today, I'd like to talk to you about the number one trigger of a mood episode. That trigger is stress. We all know about stress. It's pretty much a constant in our lives. When it comes to stress, there's both good and bad stress, depending on whether it's something you're excited and looking forward to or something bad that might be happening. They both are stressful situations. The thing is our body cannot make a distinction between good and bad stress. Stress is stress. It does not matter whether it's good or bad. I just wanted to bring that up because when you look at your treatment, you need to pinpoint the areas that are causing you the most stress. For example, I use a mood journal to keep track of how I'm feeling on a daily basis. I keep track of my anxiety, my mood, my energy, my motivation, and basically anything else that I feel is relevant. With a mood journal, if you can do this on a daily basis, you'll start to see trends in your own life. When you find these trends or see these trends, you can decide or actually see what is contributing to your stress. For example, sleep deprivation might be a huge one for you. That could be a trigger. You get stressed easier when you're sleep deprived. Or actually, it's the threshold at which you can handle stress. It changes when you're sleep deprived, so stress feels more intense. Does that make sense? Another trigger is toxic relationships. If you've ever been in a toxic relationship, you know this causes stress. The thing you need to figure out is it advantageous to end that toxic relationship to get away from it? Or can you maintain how you are doing and managing bipolar on a daily basis if you keep that relationship in your life? That's only something, that's a question that you can only answer. Another one is divorce or breakup. That's another trigger. And all these triggers, as I mentioned, are directly, all of these triggers are a result of stress, or it increases the amount of stress, like a breakup, a divorce, the end of a relationship. That's a big trigger for some people. Another one is alcohol and drugs. People with bipolar disorder have a higher incidence of using alcohol and drugs as compared to somebody who does not have bipolar disorder. It makes sense because it's a way to self-medicate the symptoms of mania and depression, since alcohol and drugs can bring you up or take you down. Seasonal changes are another one. Some people, this is huge. For others, it's not as big of a deal. It just kind of depends on where you live too. So those are some, that's something to take into account. Pregnancy is another trigger. obviously, I can't talk from my personal experience, but I do know pregnancy, like with my wife, with her hormones were fluctuating during her pregnancy, and she needed extra support and so forth. Weather changes are another one. It's similar to seasonal changes, but weather changes are on a daily basis as compared to seasonal changes, which would be from like summer to fall. Or spring, you might have heard of spring mania. Death of a loved one or bereavement, that's another trigger. You would think that in a time where you have these deep and forlorn emotions that you would get depressed. Especially if you're bipolar type 1, which is what I am. Most people will go, who have this diagnosis, can go into a manic episode, and that's happened to me before. Another one is medication. It is absolutely important in my treatment. Medication is a huge trigger, and I know this from experience. Years ago, I went on a weekend trip, and I forgot to bring my meds. And this triggered a manic episode. I didn't get a chance to take my meds for a couple days. That happened once, and that's never going to happen to me again. I am very vigilant about taking my medication. Because all these triggers, as I said, these are potential triggers of a manic or depressive episode, or hypomanic if you have type 2 bipolar disorder. And the whole reason why we need to figure out these triggers is so we can manage them. Like my medication. Now I have a system in place with a pharmacy that delivers my medication directly to my door. I set it up 2 weeks in advance, and they're in little compartments, so I just pop them open and take them for whatever time of the day. And with toxic relationships, I've had to cut some of those out of my life. But you might be able to keep that person in your life and still manage okay. The whole idea is to find these triggers so you have control. You have control when you know something can trigger an episode. Then you can say, you know what? I'm just going to completely avoid that. Right now. Maybe I can come back. Maybe I can't. But the whole idea is it gives you more power, more control over managing bipolar disorder. So I just don't want you guys to ever feel like you're out of control. It can seem like that. I completely understand. I was like that for a long time. But once you start seeing variables that you can control, you will have a better understanding how your bipolar disorder works, so you can take care of yourself better, and you'll be able to function to a better and more efficient degree. Now, back to the mood journal. I just want to go over that again real quick. The only thing you need is a simple notebook, and you're the one that needs to figure out what's most important to follow over a month or two or three, whatever time frame you're looking at. For me, it was when I first started, I looked at anxiety, my sleep, my hydration, like how many cups of water I was taking in each day. I kept track of my food. And when I ate, and I was able to pinpoint during that time that I can't take in a lot of sugar. I have to maintain a better sugar level throughout the day to function better. I also have a part for exercise. And then I had a numerical sort of graph that I would use for anxiety. My mood in terms of depression and mania. I would also write down a lot about my feelings, like a regular journal. So I would know kind of how I'm feeling, what's going on, what meds I was taking. But with these graphs, if you can make sure at the least do your mood, so you can get an idea about that. Anxiety, your motivation, your energy level, those are great things to monitor as well. And I think you should give it a try. And then when I did this years ago, when I first started, I would just keep the notebook with me and I'd write little notes throughout the day. And sometimes I would be writing more than one page a day. That's okay. The whole idea is this is a tool for you. And if you go into your therapist, you can take it in and discuss it with your therapist or your doctor. So, after all this, we can say with 100% confidence that all of the triggers that we spoke about are directly related to stress. And stress is the number one way of triggering a manic or depressive episode. Take care. If you found this podcast episode helpful in any way, please consider pledging financial support to me and my mission of empowering those of us living with bipolar disorder. Your pledge allows me the ability to record these episodes and provide them to you. Thank you for your consideration.